Worship team, thank you very much for leading us. Tanya, thank you very much for leading us. Amen. It's great that God gives us gifts in His body. Amen. And His gifts being people. Each of you are a gift from God. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 6 as our springboard verse today. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And when you leave today, you will get an outline of today's message with the other references that we'll refer to today. But Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, as again, today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. And thank you, Mont. And God is good. And sometimes in life, we experience pains and difficulties without knowing the source of the problem. And only when we discover the source of the problem, if we only would have known that that was how we could resolve it, we would have resolved it all that time. Have you ever had that where you realize, man, if I would have not been doing this the whole time, I wouldn't have been having this problem? I have issues with my feet, and my podiatrist had me get a new pair of shoes, and then get their inserts to put under my feet. And they hurt worse when I had my shoes on and couldn't figure it out. And finally, I started walking around the house without the shoes, which that's a big no-no if you go to a podiatrist. And I was walking without the shoes. My shoes were feeling better without the shoes on. So when I went to the podiatrist, I asked about that. And she said, well, take the shoes back and see if they'll return them. Now, I had waited too long. I went to try anyway, but it had been too long. But the person who was serving me at the shoe store looked in my shoe and pulled the insert out and realized, and I don't know if all shoes do this, but these shoes came with inserts already. So I was wearing two inserts inside my shoes that were pushing my feet up too close to the top, and that's why I was in pain for a month or two or whatever. And sometimes we do not so bright things and we're the cause of our pain and discomfort. Well, only we knew what the source was. Some of you are lactose intolerant and didn't discover that till after a lot of discomfort. That if I only knew not to touch that stuff, then I wouldn't have this gas issue and the discomforts and the cramps and those sort of things. And some of you know that for some of us, joint problems are derived from wheat and breads and those sort of things for some of us, and so you've stayed away from those. Some of you have noticed that sugar has a negative side effect, even though it tastes so good when we eat it, has a negative side effect. And I used to get mouth ulcers, and I after a while decided I wasn't going to eat sugar. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but when you try to go off sugar, one of the most common sugars in food is high fructose corn syrup. And if you were to go to a store and check out the ingredients, because I did this, I was trying to avoid it, I checked the ingredients on everything. There's high fructose corn syrup in almost everything you eat. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of the food that we eat has high fructose corn syrup in it. And it's no wonder sometimes we feel moody and cranky all the time, because all we eat is sugar. And if we only realize that, then some of the pains and challenges that we face could be avoided if we knew the culprit that is present in our lives. And some of us have emotional strain and turmoil that we deal with on a regular basis. And we struggle with insecurities, we wrestle with sadness and anger, and those things plague us. It's this burden that we carry, and we're not quite sure where the culprit is. What's the cause of that? Some of us have relationship issues and conflicts and challenges, and we don't really know why it's that way, but it is that way, and we can't figure out what the culprit is, especially if we have difficulty with our relationships with our dads or with our sons or with men in general or with authority figures. If you struggle with these relationships, there might be a culprit that God wants to point out to you today. Or perhaps maybe your relationship with God. Now, I don't mean that you have an inability to read your Bible and study it. Some of you are avid Bible studiers. I don't mean that you can't rattle off prayer requests to God, that you don't come to church, that you don't get involved in ministry. I mean, some of us in our relationship with God, what we struggle with is affection with God, intimacy with God, actually just loving on Him, receiving love back from Him, declaring praise to Him, and feeling His presence. Some of us struggle with that. You might be really good with the other stuff, but you struggle with an intimacy with God. And if these are your struggles, there might be an unseen culprit to that struggle. And that is that many of our challenges of those sort stem from our relationship with our earthly dads. And today, God wants to bring healing not only to the children, but to the fathers as well. And if you reflect on a couple of considerations, and the message today is daddy issues, forgive my goofiness there. But if you have the following issues, consider these questions. Are you relationally clingy? Do you assume all men are the same? Do you need constant reassurance? You might have a daddy issue. Do you have difficulty letting people close to you? Do you have an unhealthy sex life? You might have a daddy issue. In fact, much study has been done to show that sexual promiscuity and even homosexuality is linked to relationship to a father. Do you hate being alone? Do you have commitment issues? Do you resent all men or all those who are in authority? If so, you may have a daddy issue. But the issue is, how is your relationship with dad? And you might say, maybe he's deceased, maybe you've never met your dad. That's a part of your relationship with your dad. And not only how is, but how was your relationship with your dad. Even if your father is alive and you have contact with him, you might say that your childhood relationship with your dad was great, but how is your relationship with dad today? Because the answer to that question, how your relationship with your dad is, today or in the past, is going to permeate through so many areas of your life. And don't misunderstand this. This is not a point the finger thing, because it's not just dad's fault. In fact, our culture does a lot of work to try to make us feel like it's dad's fault. I challenge you, if any of you watch the Disney Channel, watch some of those sitcoms that are made for children and do a study of how they portray the dads that are in the sitcoms. The dads are usually not intelligent. They're not helpful. They're pretty much a buffoon. And they're the ones that mess everything up. And the mom has to always come to the rescue. And dads are also self-absorbed. They only care about themselves. That's how the world portrays dad. Even if you go outside of Disney, just about any sitcom today, if there's a dad in there, then he's portrayed badly. And as much as the church should lead culture, many times culture leads the church, and the church just acts like the world. And I ask you to consider, not every time when you go to church on Father's Day is there a message on Father's Day, but when there is, compare the difference between the message on Mother's Day and the message on Father's Day, even within the church. The message on Mother's Day is our mothers are great, they're so sacrificial, they're so focused on others, and we should honor them, they're great. The message on Father's Day is, here's how you can be a better dad. You know why? Because the message is, you guys are not good at this, and here's how you can shape up. And we follow the world's lead to give the message that dads, they're bad. Whether they're actually bad or not, the message is, you guys are bad. And there is a effect that comes from that. And if you remember, about a month ago or so, we were doing a study on the power of words. And if you missed it or need to review it, it's on the website. We talked about how our words affect people. Not that we control things, but when you say things, it impacts people's lives. And Proverbs 15:4 reminds us of this. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it brings or breaks the spirit. That is, that when you speak well to people, you can give life to them. When you speak perversely or unkindly to people, you can bring death into them. And some of this is the whole idea of the chicken or the egg, which one comes first. Were dads bad and then society portrayed them as they were? Or were dads good and then society portrayed them as bad and they just followed suit? But whichever one it is, even if the dads were really kind of bad and we portrayed them as that, our words are telling them, listen, you're awful, you're bad, there's no hope for you, and why would they try then? If the message is you're bad, why would a dad try to be better? If they're just going to assume that I'm bad, if they're just going to assume that dad makes me automatically a bad person, and that all their problems are coming from me, then why try? And some of you have been in those scenarios where no matter how good you did, the person spoke poorly of you, so why keep trying to do good? And many times we are either causing our dads to be dad or be bad, or we're pushing them to stay in that corner. And we desperately need health in our relationships with our dads. And besides that, relationships are a two-way street. The vast majority of times that I have come to find people who have marriage problems, rarely is it only one person's fault. Now, it's portrayed that way, and depending on which one I'm talking to, it's the other person's fault. But rarely is it only one person's fault. Relationships are two-way, not just in marriage, but between us and our fathers and us and our children. And so as much as we might want to say, well, Dad, he did this and he did that, that's why I am the way that I am, and it's all his fault. I wonder if there's some thing, some role that we had to play in the breakdown of that relationship. And when we reflect upon that, Malachi has something to say to us. And this issue is vital to get right. I don't know if you realize how much of the problems that we face today is because of unhealthy relationships with our dads. Sexual promiscuity is rampant in our culture, and I would not be surprised if it's linked to relationship with dad. Not blame dad, the relationship itself. And it also has a spiritual aspect of destruction as well. And this relationship is vital to God himself. And when he inspired Malachi to say the statement I'm about to read, he inspired him to say it in connection with prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ to earth had vitally attached to it the relationship between the fathers and their children. And this is what God had Malachi say, Malachi 4, verse 6. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. There is punishment that comes from God if we don't get this right, the relationship between us and our dads. If this doesn't get right, there is so much healing that God wants to unleash for us emotionally, mentally, relationally, in our culture. So much healing that God wants to release for us if we would just get this right. So how do we get this right? First, get it right with dad. Get it right with dad by, first of all, the power of respect. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father. Ephesians 5:13 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I don't know if you've noticed the difference, but typically the instruction to the wife or the husband is to love your wife, and the instruction to the wife is to respect your husband. The reason why is respect is a man's love language. Because you can give the man affection, you can serve the man, you can give the man gifts, you can do a lot of great things for the man. But if you think the man is an idiot, it's as if none of those things happen. If you treat the guy like he's incompetent, you don't love him. Because a man's love language is respect. And our world today does not respect men. Some of it is an overreaction to the feminist movement that realized that women were being mistreated, and so to resolve that, we began to mistreat men. That's not okay either. We need to learn how to respect both genders. But we're right now in that overcompensation stage in our culture where we're treating men as lousy. And listen, just like Helen shared, you see, this is a two-way relationship. Her dad gave her words of affirmation which inspired her to do good things. If you, and your words speak life or death, if you, when you speak to your father, you speak to him as if he's dumb or incompetent or lazy or self-absorbed, that's what he will probably become. And that's what he will stay. Because your words are death to him. And as much as we say, well, dad did this and dad did that, and that's why I'm having these issues, but what did I do? What was my part in it? And if we learn to, and you might say also, well, my dad doesn't deserve respect. My dad doesn't deserve honor. He was abusive. Some of you here may have been molested. Some of you have gone through, you've never knew your dad. And listen, I speak from experience. I didn't go through the extreme levels that some of you did, but my dad was bipolar, and he was not medicated. He was not diagnosed. He was diagnosed as a child and was actually medicated then, and we didn't find out that until recently. But throughout my childhood, he was a bipolar man that was not medicated, and he berated me and belittled me with his words. But there's a thing. When we've tried to say that people don't deserve respect and they don't deserve honor, let us consider the words of Peter. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:17, he says, honor everyone. He doesn't say honor those who are honorable, honor those who deserve it, honor those who are respectable. He says honor everyone. It doesn't matter if your dad was absent. It doesn't matter if your dad is deceased. It doesn't matter if your dad was a bad dad. He deserves honor. In fact, Deuteronomy says honor your father. He doesn't say honor your father if he deserves it. Honor all those dads that are good at it. He says honor your dad. We need to show respect and honor to our dads. And I challenge you, you start doing that. And just because he's absent or deceased doesn't mean you can't honor his memory. You start doing that, you're going to, one, see an unleashing of healing in your life. But number two, if he's still living and you still have contact with him, watch the change that that begins to have in a man. When you show respect to a man, you begin to make him feel confident and feel like he is able, he can do. You will start to make him feel like he is a good dad, and all of a sudden you might be surprised how good your dad can be if we learn how to show honor and respect. Again, Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. In fact, this calling into existence things that do not exist, that is an imitation of God's character, because in Romans 4:17 it says of God that he calls into existence the things that did not exist. You, through your encouragement, through your honor, and through your respect, you can call into an existence something in your relationship that was never there because of your willingness to speak words of life, honor, and respect. In fact, that commandment was the first commandment with what? With a promise to honor your father and your mother. The power of respect. Secondly, the power of a fulfilled heart. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That is, that when you desire something and you don't get it, that's difficult. And when you desire something, you crave something, you get it, that is life-giving. That is powerful. And if you learn to fulfill the desires of your father's heart, watch him lighten up. Watch him begin to learn how to show affection because you fulfill his heart. But what is it that is in his heart that he longs to have fulfilled? Proverbs 23 gives us two answers. One, in verse 22, it says, listen to your father. Now, this is two components to it, listening to your father. We know the whole story that we've made fun of before, that our dads tell us that when I was a child, I used to climb mountains to get over to the other side to go to school in the midst of 300 feet of snow. I was just swimming underneath it, and I got frostbite every single day. And then when I got to school, they whipped me and beat me, and this life was awful. You don't know what it was like, and that's how strong I was. And we want to check out, and we don't want to listen to the stories of our dads, or some of you ladies, as your dads might ramble on about sports tales and what they did when they played high school football or baseball, and you want to zone out. Remember what Proverbs is telling you to do. Listen to your fathers. Because he's talking to you because he wants a listening ear. And there's something amazing when you just sit silently and listen. It fulfills the longing of a heart to be heard. Listen to your fathers. Secondly, I forgot to add to that. If you still live in the household, listening to your father means to do what he says, to follow his commands. As long as it's not outside of God's standards, do what your father says. So obey your children. And even if you are outside of your father's home, you've grown up, then you can still listen to your father as far as when he gives you advice, you don't just shrug it off immediately. Some of us do that. Oh, there goes dad again. No. Listen to your father. Heed his advice and consider it. It doesn't mean you have to go along with it, but you have to at least listen to your father. You're going to do something amazing for your dads if you start to do this. Listen to your father. Second longing is this. Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him." This is a common thing. What do we often do as parents? And excuse me for a moment. What do we do when we're parents that makes us feel like we're successful parents? Is how well our kids turn out, right? If our kids turn out well, we feel like we did well. And so then turn out well. Work hard to be a good person, to be someone who's put together, not perfect, not rich even, not highly successful, just someone who has a good life. Because if you do that for your dad's going to feel a surge of confidence because he's going to feel like, look at my son, look at my daughter. I'm the one who raised that child. And you're going to give life to your dad because you're not falling apart. You falling apart devastates the longing of a father's heart. Now, I understand some things are not within our control, but we're called to honor our fathers and mothers. And that doesn't just mean to give them a card or a phone call on Sunday. It means to be respectable towards them and honor them in all that you say and all that you do. If we get this right, so much of our emotional turmoil, so much of our relationship problems, so much of the things that are wrong out there is linked to our relationship with our dad. And we must get this right. First, we must get it right with dad. Secondly, we must get it right as dad. And specifically to fathers, but this can apply to any of you who are in an influential relationship. Some of you are uncles, and you hold a position of influence in the lives of your nephews and your nieces. Some of you have been involved in children's ministries and other things. You can yield influence as a man. Our society lacks influence from our men, and I think some of it is because of us berating them. But particularly to our fathers, I have a message of hope for you. You see, there is a couple of false notions that we need to obliterate today. The first one is the notion that if my child ends up poorly an adult, they don't turn out well, that is not necessarily indicative of your parenting skills. But the way our society acts today is if my child doesn't turn out well, I must have been a bad dad or I must have been a bad mom. And that is entirely unbiblical. And I'm going to demonstrate that for you. Are you ready? Let's consider some biblical dads. Adam, his son killed the other. Okay, if you think you have problems in your household, Adam had problems on his hands. Now, there was no police force yet and no capital punishment yet as far as from man's point of view, but his son killed the other. Was Adam a bad dad? Then you consider Noah, the preacher of righteousness, the one who led his family into the ark for God's judgment coming in the flood. Noah, his son Ham mocked him and belittled him and then became the father of many pagan nations. You think your family has problems. But was Noah a bad dad? Abraham. Abraham had the whole debacle that he took one of his wife's servants as his own and fathered a child through her. And then when Sarah had a child, everything kind of went awry, and he sent that woman away and abandoned his son in order to keep peace in the family. Was Abraham a good dad? Then you have Isaac, who had Edom, who was a womanizer and became the father of the nation of Edom that were very antagonistic towards the people of God. And was Isaac a bad dad? You had Jacob, who fathered 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and 10 of them led a whole revolt to try to assassinate the younger Joseph. And when they changed their mind, they threw him in a pit and then sold him off to slavery, and they made up some whole big story that some animal had killed him. Again, you think you have problems, but was Jacob a bad dad? Then you consider Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who anointed David as king. His sons were servants in the temple, and they were taking advantage of the women who were trying to enter to worship God. And was Samuel a bad dad? Then you have David, whose sons led rebellions against his kingdom. And was David a bad dad? And you might say, well, all of those are earthly fathers, and they were marred with sin, so of course they were bad dads. Because I don't know if you know how strong this notion is, and it's been in our culture for a long time, that how my children turn out is the only indication that I'm a good dad. But this is the biggest point that obliterates that altogether. God is the father of the human race. Amen. And how did the human race turn out? The human race has been falling apart ever since it has existed. And if how your children turn out make you a good dad, then that means God is not a good dad. And we know that that is not true. And so if you can be a good dad and your children not turn out well, then all those insecurities that you feel linked to the way your children turned out should be obliterated. That is a false notion. And our dads should not carry that burden of responsibility on themselves. Yes, does good parenting increase the likelihood of children turning out well in adulthood? Absolutely. Does bad parenting increase the likelihood they'll turn out bad? Yes. But that is not the sole indicator that my parenting skills are good. The second notion that needs to be destroyed. Thank you for that. The second notion that needs to be destroyed is that my children grew up and moved out, and I can't make up for what happened in their childhood. When the nation of Israel was taken captive and everything was falling apart because they were so ungodly and immoral, God inspired the prophet Joel, when they had received God's judgment, to say these words in Joel 2:25, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." Years of destruction. And I don't know everything about you. There could be plenty of things that I don't know about you. Even if you had abandoned a child, walked out on a child, even if you fathered children you've never met, even if you were abusive to whatever degree, God can restore that death that's in your past. Restore the years that the locust has eaten. If we're willing to get it right now. See, the past is the past. If you blew it in the past, get it right now. Reach out to your children. Love on your children. Be a good dad to your children. I don't care if they're 30, 40, 50 years old. Get it right with your children now and watch God begin to restore a relationship that was non-existent in the past. It can change. There can be restoration for you. The third notion that God wants to destroy is that we are not capable to parent well. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "Whoever abides in me bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." If you are in Christ, you are a good dad. You will be a good dad if you are a lover of Jesus Christ. You will. And I was watching a video on parenting about a week or two ago, and there was a couple that was sharing about parenting, and there was something that they said that struck me. And they began to reflect upon, what is our primary responsibility as people in this earth? And as much as parents feel the strong weight of making sure they parent their children well, that their children behave well, that's not your primary responsibility on this earth. Your primary responsibility on this earth is to please God. And if you get your children to behave by not pleasing God, by not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm not saying that you don't discipline. I'm saying if you get your kids to behave, but you don't act like Jesus Christ, you failed as a parent. If you get your children to turn out to be good adults and kind people and people who succeed in life, but you did it in a way that did not honor Jesus Christ, you failed. Because our primary responsibility is to please God. Because it says if we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. If you focus more on being pleasing to Jesus Christ, you will be a good dad. You will be a good mom. In law, as long as you don't let that notion that how they turn out makes me a bad parent. Because again, God is a good father. And we must, some of us wrestle with insecurities that we must obliterate. Some of us contribute to insecurities because of the way we say things and the stuff that we say and the things that we do. And we follow culture's lead rather than God's lead. This is vital. Our culture is falling apart. We sometimes are falling apart. And we did not even realize it was linked to this relationship between us and our dads, between us and our children. We must get it right with dad. We must get it right as dad. And lastly, we must get it right with God. Many people have a hard time with intimacy with God. I don't mean Bible study and getting involved in ministry and giving and going to church. I mean affection with God because you had a bad relationship with your dad. Because he's father. And if this is what father is, then I can't love this. Many people have a hard time with that. I'm thankful that when I came to the Lord at 18, God completely removed my hatred of my father and took that away instantly, but others did not experience it that way. And your dad might be undeserving, your dad might be deceased, but if you can't figure out how to make things right and begin to honor your father and show respect to your father, you're going to always struggle with this. This is going to be hard. Because God doesn't want to bless this anyway if you can't learn to honor your father and your mother. And if we have a notion that God is like this father, we miss it. Because as Tanya referred to the story of the prodigal son, the way Jesus portrays the father is this. You mess it up, you go out on your own, you do your own thing, you disrespect the father, and this is how the father responds when you turn to him. Arms open wide, running to you before you can get to him, embracing you, and though you are a lousy excuse for a human being, throws a feast for you and shows you honor because that's the kind of the father that God is. And he shows it in this as well, in his statement in Luke, when he says, you guys, though you're evil, you guys are riddled with sin. But you, as dads, know how to treat your children good. But you guys are awful. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love Him? You know what that means? Did any of you ever have TV dads? Have you ever heard of that? Some people have the idea of TV dads because when they used to portray sitcom dads as good, you had a difficult childhood with your dad and you saw a sitcom dad as, well, I wish that was my dad. Or you knew someone in the church when you were growing up, or you had a school teacher or someone in your life that you thought, I wish that was my dad. The best example of a father in this world doesn't even come close to how good of a father he is. And if you are struggling to run to him, learn who He really is, and you will find yourself running to Him. And if we can get this right, relationship with our dads, and it's difficult, and I understand, I'm not belittling this at all. I understand that some of you have gone through a great deal with your dads. And if you don't do it for Him, at least begin by doing it for yourself. You're going to have emotional turmoil and things that you struggle with, and relationships are not going to be the way they should be if you can't get it right with your father. And sometimes it takes the person to take the initiative. Even if your dad might still be that kind of a person, sometimes it takes the person that says, I'll be the one who shows the love of Christ. And who knows if that step isn't what will turn the whole thing around. And if enough of this get this right, we can turn a whole culture around if we learn how to get it right with that. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? The desire of your heavenly Father is this, Malachi 4:6. And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And let's do Reckless Love, if we could. I wasn't sure how I wanted to ask you to respond today, but I'm going to give you just a moment to respond. And I've already confessed I had a struggle with my father. And if you're afraid that coming down here will reveal that you have some weakness, quick newsflash. Everybody knows that you have weaknesses. You might as well be willing to come in weakness humbly before God and be healed. And there are some of you here today that relationship you had with your dad or currently have with your dad was bad. God wants to restore your relationship to Him. Even if He's passed on, God wants to restore what was lost. And the Lord is here at these altars, wanting to lavish His love upon you and release you from that burden that you carry. Some of you, you're here and you are a father yourself and you feel all those insecurities. Maybe your children didn't turn out well and you're burying that upon you. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because it is easy and light. Jesus wants to free you from that insecurity that you have, because it's not that that makes you a good dad. It's being faithful to Jesus Christ that makes you a good dad. And you need to be healed of those insecurities. Or maybe you need hope restored, that even though you blew it in the past, that God can restore the years that the locust had eaten. And today is the day that God wants to restore to you what was lost. You can regain your relationship with your children. Some of you here, you need to get it right with God. Your relationship with Him has been stale. It's been obedient. Sometimes we're strictly obedient to God because we were taught to be strictly obedient to fathers, but we never learned how to love a father. And God wants you to learn how to be affectionate with Him. And I'm telling you, right here at these altars is an unleashing of healing for you if you're willing to take that step forward and let God heal you. Would you come? If you need that, come and seek Him today. Yes, Lord. I just want you to know, dads, we love you.
Yeah.
And God wants you to know that if you put yourself in Jesus' hands, you are not a bad dad. Doesn't matter what the past is, that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter what your children are right now. That's irrelevant to what God can do, because God can call into existence that which doesn't exist. And we have a gift for you. So as you leave, a gift for all men. Love, if you would go towards the back. Yeah. If you are not even just a dad, just a man, all men are going to receive a gift when you leave. We also have a handout for the outline for the message as well. And if you're new with us, again, I want to remind you, we have a welcome center that's just for you outside these double doors. Down the hall and last door on the left, we have some refreshments for you. And I want to take a moment to get to know you a little bit, so give me a few moments to get back there and greet you. And also next week, we're going to pick back up our series on transforming grace. We're building a pathway to victory. Don't you want to get down to victory? And we're going to learn how to have victory and remorse. So join us for that next week. But we want to leave exalting God as a good father. Isn't he a good father? So before you leave, Tanya and the worship team is going to lead us in exalting God as a good father. Amen?